Pickaxe.
Sehr gut, sehr gut, sehr gut.
Sehr gut?
Wieso Steuer ist sehr gut? Das sagen ganz viele.
Cool, wer sagt das?
Stiftung Warentest, Computerbild, Focus Money, Chip, Finanztipp, such dir was aus.
Mega, aber das ist doch bestimmt kompliziert.
Nö, einfach Foto von der Lohnsteuerbescheinigung machen und fertig.
Klingt sehr gut.
Ist sehr gut. Hol dir dein Geld zurück mit Wieso Steuer.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Triforce Podcast with me, Lewis. Also, Pyrian Flax.
Hello.
Also, Sips.
Hi.
How are you guys doing?
Doing all right.
You know.
Man, so this morning, I was reading this article about how an American guy, went to the banned island in India, you know, with the tribes,
yeah,
the tribesmen.
I read about that.
Who
the North Sentinel Island, I believe it's called.
Yeah, so they're called the Sentinelese people, and their eyes, they're cut off from the world on their little island.
Yeah.
And they kill anyone with spears and homemade arrows and stuff.
Homemade. Well, where else are they going to get them?
Well, I guess island made. Yeah, yeah, yeah. They're not made in like nearby places.
They don't
but
get
it's
them
like,
imported.
Yeah. It's quite one of these quite isolated places. It's like off the coast of like India and Burma. Like it's in the Bay of Bengal.
They believe they might be descended from the first Africans to leave Africa. Like that group of people.
Right.
And they found this island and they must have been like, yeah, this seems nice. And then subsequently, thousands of years later, of course, it's turned out to be a little too remote. And they sort of haven't made any contact with civilization. But some people, of course, will say, well, what a wonderful thing. That means they're like, you know, they don't have any of the bullshit that we've got, like Facebook and shit like that. But they're also, it's not just about not making contact with them for that reason, but also none of them have been exposed to things like the common cold that we've got and the flu and stuff.
Right. So you could just go there, sneeze, and wipe them all out.
Exactly. Just like, you know, when we went to warfare. North America for the first time, everybody got really sick.
Yeah.
Because we were all used to living. This is my understanding of it anyway, is that people in Europe and the Middle East had been living in cities and we develop immunities to common illnesses.
Yeah.
Because we have more exposure to them as a gene pool, as it were. Mm. Whereas they didn't. So when you're used to living in more
highly
disparate
infested,
groups,
filth ridden places like
Leeds.
Yeah. Oh, man, did you ever like get a little bit of desire to live on an island and like
just never
be and just be living like make drinking water out of a conch and you know surviving on your own
all the way up until I saw that Tom Hanks movie with
Castaway.
Yeah, and then I decided, you know what, I don't want to do that.
Yeah, there's no dentist. He had to use an ice skate to knock his tooth out. No internet.
Yeah, best
no
friend
internet.
Was a volleyball.
What did he have to use instead of internet? Like old classic magazine porn?
He had a tiny locket with a picture of his wife in it.
He had to really hope hard that a couple of empty cans of Coke would wash up on shore and then he could like, you know, MacGyver it with a string and a couple of tin cans. He could make a satellite, get a signal, and then, you know.
God, I thought you were talking about making a fleshlight out of the tin of Coke.
I was going to say, I thought you were going to say he's going to fuck a can. But
I don't think I'd want my fleshlight made out of a tin.
Well, you say that. Someone told me when I was streaming the other day, a lad told me that some guy tried to fuck a hornet's nest. Now,
yes,
it's not true. It's a hoax.
Right,
it sounded believable.
Of all the things that in this world that you could fuck, you'd choose a hornet's nest. I don't know.
Well, but there might be some reasoning for it, right? Like, it's kind of because maybe all the honeycomb is all, like, soft or something.
I don't think hornets make honey.
No, they don't. They just sting people. They don't have any other qualities to them.
I'm sure there's a few people who are into that, but generally,
I mean, there's that historical vibrator they claim that was just a wooden thing filled with bees.
Yeah,
I'm not sure if it's true, but I mean, you know, it's conceivable, I guess. You just shake it to get them good and angry, and then it's a fun time, I guess.
But yeah, that's a good point. What did people do before you could sit on the washing machine or the dryer? I guess they had to, like, improvise.
Have sex with each other, I guess. I mean,
yeah.
Lame.
Weird. God, that's lame, yeah.
So there's been a bunch of times that, like, these islanders have been contacted, right? There was originally this guy, T.N. Pandit, right, who worked with the Indian government to try and leave gifts, right, over on the island and make friendly contact with them. However, they didn't accept the gifts, and it went on for about 30 years before he finally gave up. So he was consistently leaving gifts there, right, on the beach for them. And over 30 years, they didn't break their spirit.
What do you get a tribe of people that has nothing?
What, did they take the gifts, though?
No, they threw them in the sea.
Yeah. So when the National Geographic went to film them,
right,
they were accompanied by this team of, like, armed police officers and stuff. They landed on the... And this was, like, in the 70s. When this... I guess you could just sort of turn up with a bunch of guys with guns back then, you know, in the 70s, and just assume that... You know, if they started attacking you, they fired they brought some presents, right? They brought, like, a miniature plastic car, some coconuts, a pig, living pig, a doll, an aluminium, and some aluminium cookware, right? But the islanders shot arrows, one of which hit the documentary director in his thigh.
Was it like one of those poisonous blow darts or something? Like, did he get some leprosy, like, off the back of that? Or
I think he was okay, but then the rest of the islanders speared the pig, buried all the presents, and then, like, left.
Why are we so obsessed with these people? Why can't we just leave them alone? Like, are we?
I think it's because they don't want to be left alone. I think
you think it's all attention-seeking, all
they're
this...
They're attention-seekers, yeah. They're just like...
Bow-firing.
Really, like naughty child syndrome. Like,
that's probably the worst conclusion you could draw from all the meetings that we've had with them. They've tried to kill us, they've rejected gifts, and what Lewis says is, they love it. Yeah. They want this attention. I don't think they're sending a clear enough signal with the get the fuck off our island, we're going to shoot you with arrows and throw spears at you and burn and stab and bury anything you bring us. Please fuck off. Lewis is like,
it would make a perfect TV show, like you know, like an entire society that is the villain, you know, but it's completely unreasonable, and you know, there's no, you know, they're just very brutal and stuff. That
well,
that
you could
sounds
do Celebrity
like,
Jungle there, Celebrity
yeah,
Jungle.
That sounds like the ideal bad guy on a
Love
TV
Island.
Show, right?
Stick
yeah, Love Island.
There.
They drop all these young Essex teenagers off. Very excited to be on North Central Island here. I know it's going to be hype as fuck. I can't wait. It's going to be sick. And apparently locals can be a bit funky, but I can't wait to get mixing up against them and get some love action going. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Bam! Arrow to the chops.
Just speared, impaled. Oh, God.
When Tony got shot by that arrow, I was like, oh, my God, I couldn't believe it. And I was like, oh, get me out of here. But then I thought, you know what? Maybe he's just misunderstood, and actually what he's trying to open up, and the arrow is like how he's opening up. So I tried again, and, yeah, he stabbed me in the leg.
Oh, fuck.
Oh. Oh man,
that's... Love Island. Is that still going? Jesus Christ. You know, that fucking jungle one, the one that Ant and Dec used to host.
I'm a celebrity, get me out of here.
Ant has now been shunned by the entire world because he's a total mess, right? So he's not allowed to present it anymore. So
he's very big on North Sentinel Island, very popular there.
Yeah. So they got, who's it? I think it's like Holly Willoughby to present it with Dec.
Right.
Yeah, so Dec is just like, you know, looking for another wingman now that Ant is like out of the picture.
Well, hey, lads, Ant turned out to be a bit of a cunt, so it's me and Ollie Freeman in and out. I don't know what the details are of how
Ant
or Dec, whichever it is, fell from grace, but I think he drank a lot and did a load of drugs. I mean, I guess.
He did, yeah. Well, he got busted for drink and driving, yeah.
No, that's not cool.
Which is no excuse, really, for doing that.
No. But and people are sympathetic towards him as well. I think he like,
dude, he's popular. You can get away with anything.
Yeah, I think that's the problem. On. I think people being sympathetic to him is what's causing him to just relapse all the time and think it's all right.
I mean, look at Gaza. Yeah. Gaza's in the same boat. Everybody loves Gaza. So anytime he goes out, people are like, oh, Paul, let me buy you a drink. Because I can't, man, I'm fucking alcoholic. I shouldn't be drinking. You know, it's really bad for us. And they're just like, just have one. And he goes, oh, need to just have one. And then the next thing you know, he's waking up in a gutter.
He's had like 20.
He was in Bournemouth where
he
my
said,
sister
oh,
lives.
Oh, man, you don't believe what I did last night. I don't know what accent this is. I went to Centenary's Island, man, and I got stabbed in the leg, mate. It's like fucking, I was playing footy with him. I thought I could convince him to come out and be playing footy. Oh, Jesus Christ, fucking Gaza.
Oh my God. That's the accent they have on that Indian island off of India with the society.
Yes.
The brutal society.
Yeah, yeah, that's how they speak.
Yeah.
That would be funny, actually, if they rocked up. Who are you? And they're like, why, hey, man, with the North St. Lilies, like, just fed off and they'll be near trouble.
Well, surely not love Gaza, though. Huh? Surely if we said them, like, beloved people, they would just be like, they couldn't possibly stab Gaza.
Well, do you remember when he tried to break that siege? Do you remember this?
No.
There was was a few years ago. There was a guy, I think he was, God, who was he? He was like an ex-bodyguard or army or something. You have to look it up. And he'd hold himself up, and I can't remember if he was holding his wife hostage or something, or he was just in a field. It was a weird story. It's one of those things that people probably haven't heard about now, but if you look back a few years. So Gaza goes down there, right? He just turns up with a roast chicken, like a rotisserie chicken that he's got from Tesco's, and some cans of beer, and he's like, just let us have a chat with the lad and we'll sort it all out. He's literally, he just wants to go and break the siege. And the police are like...
So what was this guy in Newcastle, what was just a hold up in his house, was he? Like,
I'll try and find the details for you. Well, was you it carry like on a talking, kind of, carry on talking.
The police were like shooting bizarre. Away.
It's bizarre. But the guy was like, hold up. Oh yeah, here we go. On the 9th of July 2010, Gascoigne appeared at the scene of the tense standoff between the police and fugitive Raoul Mote, which is a bizarre name. Sounds like a Star Wars character. Raoul Mote.
Does.
Claiming to be a friend of Mote and stating that he'd brought him a can of lager, some chicken, a fishing rod, a Newcastle shirt, and a dressing gown.
Oh my God. And what? Hell. So, was the siege broken off the back of that power play?
I think they told him to fuck off.
Oh my God.
Yeah, no, the Raoul Mote case, 2010, so it was about 8 years ago now. Nearly 9 years ago. So, a lot of you youngins out there were probably just kids when it happened. But if you want to have a look, Raoul Mote, it's very strange. He died, sadly, he got shot, but.
Yeah. Oh, God.
So, I mean, this isn't the first time, like, we've had situations of people on islands. Like, because remember, there used to be, back up after World War... Well, during World War II, the Japanese dropped off loads of guys on islands.
Yeah, yeah.
And said, you know, defend this island. You know, here's two hand grenades and three clips, good luck, kind of thing. And it was, like, sometimes it was, like, the 90s when they were still going. You know, they were, like, they'd been killing people on that island for, like... 50 years.
They thought that the war was still on and they were still defending
like their guns, they were trying to keep their guns still
That's the thing. Like when you watch
everything and yeah, it's crazy.
When you watch documentaries and stuff, like they make it seem like, you know, all of the tactics of war and the maneuvers and everything are so like tightly controlled, perfectly executed and stuff like that. It must be a fucking mess. Like consider your average person his ability to follow orders and do things competently. Goes like for soldiers as well. It must just be a fucking mess. Like yeah. I bet you people are just like shooting each other by accident all the time. Well, we see that like in the news that it happens all the time, friendly fire and stuff like that. You know, people are probably just deserting all the time. Like if they sent me out and they were like, yeah, go sweep this field. I'd be like, okay. And just walk the other way down the road and just like integrate into like French society.
Especially
or whatever.
Especially in a war where you've got like conscription, like professional soldiers, obviously they're trained and they're into it.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
If you're, I mean, I doubt in Afghanistan the lads are kind of all over the shop. You know what I mean? It's like organized. But yeah, when you've got millions of soldiers and you're like, right, we have to push that way. And everyone just goes, right you are. And they sort of, you know, you men stay here and hold the corner of this field until you're relieved. Gotcha. So they're just waiting. And then the other guy's like 10 miles down the road and they forgot to go and tell them. Did you guys tell Section 14 that we need them to follow us? Oh, no, we forgot. Ah, they'll be fine. Just leave them. And these lads are there for like 3 days in a field thinking, where the fuck are the boys? And they're like, no, we were told to stay here. We've got to stay here. Okay, we'll stay here. And then eventually, I guess they just go off with another unit.
30 years later.
Yeah, they're still there.
It's like
shooting at
like
every farmer.
Three Frenchmen in a field.
Do not go to yourself's fields. Those crazy Englishmen are still there. But yeah, the Japanese guys, I guess they just drop these lads off, hold this island. It's like a teeny little island. But the locals apparently would occasionally, they'd notice that they were getting burglarized and robbed and stuff for food and equipment and stuff. And the guys were just fucking living rough. I mean, honestly, that's fucking hardcore. And
that's
they'd have
pretty
to go
hardcore,
and find the guy's commanding officer, wouldn't they? And fly him out there to say, the war's
over. Rockstar should make a game about that. Like, that sounds
worst game
that
ever.
Sounds perfect. Yeah, no, like, it'd be like Red Dead Redemption, but you're on a little tiny Japanese island and you're a remnant of an outfit from World War II and you're just holding out. It's the year 2020.
You're like 110 years old.
Yeah. You still got like old ass equipment and new campfires and stuff. That'd be perfect.
So,
that'd be great.
So, so no, they like flew out his old commander and stuff, and who was like still alive. He was like a fucking 90-year-old, like retired fisherman or whatever. Do you know what I mean? And he tried to talk him down, but they didn't believe it. And then they left loads of newspapers around. And they airdropped stuff. You know, the amount of effort they had to go through. And it wasn't, I mean, in the 90s, it was like, sure, it was like just one or two crazy folk left. But in the sort of 60s and 70s, you know, 20 years after the war had finished, they were like taking hundreds of people, like whole sections off these islands, you know, because these islands were just so dense and jungled up. And
how
these,
bored
the,
they
were so well
at
hidden.
That point?
Yeah. And how did they keep like, because they must, how did they like keep like backfilling the ranks too? Because like some of them must have just gotten old and like,
that's it.
They weren't. They couldn't battle anymore. What did they have to like kidnap women and make children and, you know,
start their own
rear
society
up some new soldiers to like sort
of replace
them? Oh my
god, do you reckon that's how the Senegalese got started?
Well, yeah, I'm sure it is. Yeah.
They were just deaf to say defend this island.
Yeah.
And ever since
they are. It's obviously they developed a holy text that said, and the Lord said, stay on this island, don't let any fucker on. If they bring you gifts, bury them or burn them, especially the pigs. If someone ever gives you a pig, stab it in the eye. They're like, right, you are. And they taught their kids, and that's how they've raised them.
And if you ever see any metal, make sure you bury it in the ground. That's where it belongs.
Do you know what's interesting? Today, we're talking about the war, and today, my eldest daughter did her class assembly.
Nice.
And they're studying World War II this term and stuff, which is great. I'm like really excited in her schoolwork for the first time ever.
So we've got a new idea, right, kids? We've got this group of islanders. They're not very friendly, but they can't. The thing is, they can't stab kids, right? So we're going to send you all to the island to make friends, all right? Because they're not gonna spear you and bury you, and they wouldn't do that. They're not savages. So we're going to ship you off, and, you know, they're going to make friends, and then, you know, they'll integrate into society. You know, we'll be able to get them a dentist, because currently they've been knocking their teeth out with a fucking ice rink skate shoe that we left them, you know, as a present.
An ice skate would be the
ice rink shoe. Sorry, yeah. So kids' assembly, go for it.
So anyway, the assembly was about the evacuation of the kids from London, right? And it was 800,000 kids that they schlepped off to the countryside to go live on farms or, you know, remote villages and stuff like that. And I'm thinking, how the fuck would that happen ever in a million years where you just get nearly a million kids and just give them to strangers who've said, yeah, we'll take a couple of kids? I mean, how would you trust anybody to just look after your kids in wartime?
It was a different
these
time.
Days,
I mean, you
that
know.
That seems like crazy, doesn't it? Yeah.
Pedophiles were very different back then, like the way they are now. Nowadays, it would
they
just
were
be
more
like
gentlemen
God.
Pedos back then.
Yeah.
You,
yeah.
Say, they had a code of ethics, is what
that's
you're
right,
implying.
That's right, yeah. But nowadays, they're just like animals. Like, you can't trust anybody. Kids.
Yet more evidence of the decay of society. You can't even trust the pedophiles anymore. I mean,
nope.
Jesus.
God, yeah. Even they don't even follow a code anymore. It's like solo acts. They're off the grid.
God.
Yeah.
But yeah, can you imagine that nowadays? It wouldn't fucking happen ever.
No. God, no. It would be a disaster if it did happen as well. God damn. It'd just be like... I feel like nowadays, anytime anybody or like any part of society that has to congregate into a large place together for whatever reason, forcefully because of like a natural disaster or whatever, just even worse shit ends up happening to them. Like, they're probably better off just like, you know, slugging it out in their house, flooded house or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, you hear about like Hurricane Katrina when they were all going to those arenas and stuff and people were getting like raped and stuff. And you just think, Jesus Christ, like
take a chance with nature, right?
Yeah, I'd rather just take a chance with nature, I think, than be stuck in an arena with just like a bunch of fucking weirdos. You know what I mean? Like, God damn.
Yeah. Just drop them all off on an island. Like, you
can you think of one, Lewis?
Yeah. Does a specific island just spring to mind? Or
like,
really?
I mean, it must be a lot of really cool stories from that. Like, because, I mean, the thing I remember from the evacuation is that, like, there were sort of these sort of, you know, country gentlemen and women, you know, who had a big country house with about, you know, 15 rooms, you know, and they just... Oh, yes, me and Alan live here on our own.
Wasn't that the settings for
Bedknobs
and Broomsticks?
We're doing our part to take in some children. Now, we've taken in 65 children. That's filled one of the wings. And we're hoping that more will come down.
Man,
they're
I'm
really giving it a bit of life to the place.
I'm sure you're describing Bedknobs and Broomsticks. Like, I'm pretty sure that that's the setting of that whole movie. It's like kids that get shipped out to the countryside during the war and then have magical adventures on a... flying bed.
Yeah, it's
no pedophiles though.
Well, the thing is, like, it is a different. Everyone's so terrified. Do you not think like it's a bit of a sensationalist thing, or do you have to be terrified these days? Is it like it what is. Are the it, actual
it,
like?
It, there's a lot more sort of like awareness of it. It's like
how many predators are there out there? Because the thing is, like, you guys hanging around waiting outside your kids'
nowadays,
schools,
everybody
looking
is
to
a
pick
potential
up your kids.
Predator.
Well, you're saying that we look like predators because we're men.
Didn't you tell me that you both got accused of it, like at one point, or like at least like were
I
someone
hope not.
Was suspicious of
I've
you?
I've never been accused
I think that's,
of being
I think
a
that's the last thing that you want to have happen to you as a parent, but.
Yeah, that's a
I
brush
certainly wouldn't
that,
wear that,
that
as a badge of honor.
Yeah,
but at least sorry, no, maybe not accused, but in like your head, you were like, man, I look a bit like a pedo here waiting
what?
Outside this park.
Yeah, I mean, like I've been at playgrounds before, and you definitely get people giving you an eyeball, like, who's this guy?
No,
so occasionally
yeah,
I'll just summon my
kids
over kids, to say like,
you never do.
Yeah, but
you
they're
just
off
get
playing.
Like that. You get that knowing smile from other mums and dads, like, I don't want to fucking be here. And you're like, yeah, me too.
Yeah, exactly. But that's when they know that you're with the kids. Like, if you've been sat there, I was sitting there, my kids are off playing, I'm reading the paper, and or I'm on my phone, which I'm always worried about. If I'm on my phone in the playground, people are thinking, is he taking pictures of the kids? Like, yeah. It is, as a bloke, you are more likely, rightly so, to be accused yeah. or to be
and
under
especially,
suspicion.
I mean, if you're
sure.
sitting on the bench staring at kids and sweating, and you've got like headphones on, and there's no kids with you or other people with you. That probably looks a little bit
yeah, it probably
suspect.
Doesn't look great.
But if you're just like standing around looking bored, like minding your kids while they play with other kids and stuff, I don't think people generally perceive you as
no,
a threat. I think they just think, oh yeah,
there's too many dads around nowadays that actually do yeah. stuff. You know what I mean? Like hands-on dads actually taking their kids to the playground. It's not like the old days when you just never saw. Men around kids unless they
no,
were like literally
yeah,
quite obviously
but, like, men didn't even like go to the birthing of the child did they would just turn up like at 9 o'clock at night after their fucking 14-hour
yeah.
shift at the box factory and oh yeah nice and then go home and
good
collapse
job,
in bed yeah
another
good job
one. Another goddamn mouth to feed
you
thanks.
Did it again a daughter throw it away
yeah,
get back in the yeah. bed and make me a son.
Times have definitely changed. Like back then dads didn't really stay like Flax you're a stay-at-home dad for all intents and purposes I guess like that didn't really happen a lot back then. I'm sure it did a little bit but
I like the
it's
way it's for all intents and purposes
now.
As if I'm somehow kind of a stay-at-home.
No, but
dad.
I mean you still like you stream and stuff. Like you do like
yeah, but only when they're not
casting
here.
And, yeah, I know, but you're still like you're not like
yeah, that's true. Yeah,
you've got stuff on the side. You're not like just a full-time stay-at-home dad. Sort
stuff
of thing.
On the side. Don't tell my yeah. wife about that. All right.
You got a couple.
You know,
of stuff.
You know, she started listening to the podcast. Did I tell you guys that?
Really?
Yeah, she's like a year behind.
Okay.
So,
I'm trying to think. Did we say anything
that's
about
that's what
her
I was like.
Here?
I was like, oh my God, what have I said? So nah, she said she just got to the episode where I really flamed my mum's dog. This was like March of much earlier this year, I think.
What?
Really
that
flaming
last
that
week?
Dog.
I'm
no,
sure
that was
last week.
Yeah, that was after Christmas, wasn't it?
No. That was when she'd first got it and we went on holiday with the little fucker. This
oh,
is
yeah.
about the fact that she's getting rid of it. And so that was an update on Doggate.
All right, this is interesting. So what does your wife has never met me or Lewis before.
She's met Lewis.
Oh, I've met. Wait.
At
a convention. I was going to, yeah. I was wondering, like, how that happened. Because I haven't met your wife. I mean, you know.
Not officially.
Not that you know of.
Not that I know.
Not that you know of, yeah.
Yeah.
So what does she think then? As a person listening to the podcast for the first time, I'm interested to know what her take on it is. Does she like, I know she's probably biased a little bit because you're in it.
No, if anything, that would make her like it less.
Right.
So I was actually kind of surprised that she enjoyed it. And she said, I listened to your podcast and I was like, here we go. And she was like, it was pretty funny. I was like, okay. So then she started listening to them all. And now
right.
like she's a loyal viewer, you know, or listener. Like she listens to them all.
So does she have it on like while she's at work and stuff?
She listens to it when she's commuting.
Right.
And I think she probably listens to it when she's in, she has like a lab at work where she does some of her work, like a computer lab.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think she probably listens to it when she's in there. But yeah, she does listen to it. So hey, love you.
Hey, well, this will be like, she'll be getting around to this in about a year. Like how often does she listen to one? Every day?
I'm not sure. I mean, she's caught up enough that she's only a year behind now.
Yeah,
and as
yeah.
we were saying before the podcast started, we started in March of 2016.
Wow.
Yeah. So two years and 8 months.
Where do you think we're going to be in like 5 years' time? You ever think about that in the next 5 years? What do you think you're going to be? You think we're just going to be doing what we're doing now? Or
I think people are going to come by and people are going to be like, you could stop doing this, you know? You don't have to do this anymore.
Our commanding officer will turn up. Gentlemen, you're relieved.
It's Gasser. Gasser's going to turn
Gasser.
Up. Gasser. Hey, man.
Wait, lads, you can stop the podcast chicken. Now. We've got a chicken and a fish and running a fucking dressing gown. Take a break.
You don't have to do this anymore, man. You're breaking yourself.
They should make like a Dota hero about Gasser. Siege Breaker. Just running around with a chicken and a couple of tins.
Wait, hey, lads. I love his voice lines. Get Gasser just mumbling.
Yeah.
Fucking great. I fucking love it. It's great. And Dota. Have a bit of chicken. And he never hurts anybody. He just falls over drunk often. You can't kill him. He's unkillable. Just
it does an AoE stun. He just falls over.
First of all, right, I'd love it if Sips met your wife and he was like, oh my God. And she was like, Chris? And he was like, Mrs. Flax? I reckon. And then they like had this reunite and they were like, you know, and you were like, what is, could you imagine? Could you imagine if you knew
like
each other?
High school sweethearts.
They'd had a thing somehow long ago. Somehow,
I love seeing those things. Like there were these kids.
I would hate seeing that because it would be the end of my life. You understand that? That my wife would leave me for Sips.
I would love
that
specifically.
Okay.
But I like these coincidences that happen where people reunite after like long times apart. Okay. Right? So for example, like there was this, there's a bunch of them, but there was like couples that got married that then found that when they looked through family photos, they'd either been like in the same Disneyland at the same time when they were four, or like they'd been, you know, related somehow or been involved somehow. I love seeing that stuff. Like there were these two kids who grew up like two Chinese twins, I think, who were separated and given like adoption. One of them went to Norway and one of them went to Canada or somewhere, and they reunited after a long time.
Right.
There's all these amazing stories about people like rediscovering things from their past.
Here's one from March of this year.
So interesting.
Married couple discover they were pictured in same photo 11 years before they met. So they were both at something in China, I think it is.
Wow.
And yeah, that's kind of nuts, isn't it? There's a big thing. She's having her picture taken in front of it, and circled in the background is this lad having his picture taken on the same day at the same time, and then 11 years later they met and got married. Pretty crazy. Pretty
I think you,
crazy.
You often, sometimes this happens though, like you bump into someone at like an event or somewhere who you've met before. And back before, I mean, I think it was like, I remember I was on holiday in Italy or something, and it just so happened that our like cleaning lady at the time was on holiday as well. And we hadn't known this, and she hadn't known this, and she was at the same like place, and we were like bumped into her, and we were like, Jean, what's going on,
Jean?
That was her name. And she was like an old dear, but it was so weird that like we saw our cleaning lady out of, as a kid anyway, like it was weird to see this like woman who came around for like, you know, half an hour to help out mum every day, you know, to be like, but you get that, right? You've had those moments in your life where you've met or bumped into someone in a kind of, it's a small world.
Yeah.
It's a small world, isn't it?
I read this thing the other day about this. I think it was a guy and his daughter, but his daughter was like 50 and he was like 80 or something. And I think they were watching some like Remembrance Day thing. And there was some footage of, they did this like this thing where it was like, you know, women and women's role in the army or whatever. And they had some footage of women parachuting out of like planes and stuff. And so they had like this old footage, and this woman's like smiling and waving to the camera and stuff, and then, you know, jumps out of the plane, parachutes or whatever. And so this guy and the daughter are watching, and the guy was like, oh my fucking God, that, I can't believe it. That's your mom. And the daughter's like, what? Are you serious? Like the daughter never met the mom. Like she like, cause the mom passed away when she was like just after she was born or something like that. And they had they didn't have many pictures of her, and they certainly never had like any like, you know, live footage of her or anything either. So the guy had to like write into the, I think it was like the BBC or whatever, and say like, oh my God, do you have any more of this archive footage? Like my daughter's never seen her mom before. And they sent it to her and she was crying and stuff. And that's kind of weird, eh? Imagine like never meeting your mother ever, because she died soon after you were born.
Oh, fuck.
And then seeing, like, footage of her just, like, you know, because you probably look a lot like her too, right? Like,
probably.
Most people look like their parents, so you'd be, like, looking at a different you or something. I don't know. That'd be kind of crazy.
This is interesting, because last week, yeah, this podcast is like, it's like the a bunch of ley lines meeting up once a week, and all the threads of my life are not, they're de-unraveled, whatever, right. They're collected. Anyway, I went to the National Archives on a school trip.
Fuck me, no way. That's insane.
Yep, pretty crazy. Pretty crazy. They've got all family records and shit there, that's why I thought of it.
Oh yeah.
But, yeah. Maybe it's less interesting than it sounded in my head.
No. Sorry, I was just joking around. Just carry on. You went to the archives. What was the point?
You've thrown me.
What was the purpose? Sir, what was the purpose of your visit to the archives?
It was a school trip.
Oh, all right. Okay.
That's it.
And did you find out anything? I guess, like, you guys are proper British boys, right? So you might have, like, ancestors that date back.
Yeah, probably.
A real long ass way back, right?
I was there to help the teachers out because they had to get the kids from the school to the archives, and we had to use public transport to do it. So it's like 30 kids, two teachers. So they get rope in some parents to just corral the kids to help them out. And also, because one of the kids you're assigned is your own kid, you actually give a shit. You know, you're like really looking after the kids. You're like, don't go over there. Don't touch that. Be careful. You know, you're
We always tend to go along to those because we just think, like, you know, it just gives us an excuse to watch over our kid and make sure he's not, like, you know, doing stupid stuff and getting
exactly.
hurt and stuff.
So, but it was interesting. And they were teaching the kids about World War II, and they had to do like this little investigation. They were given all these materials to research and stuff like that. And they were all copies of these actual MI5 files that were
now, kids,
stored.
I need you to look up that moment when the war was really going badly, but we sent in Gazza. Because there were a load of guys like, hold up, right? And he came along, and I believe he had a chicken.
A rotisserie
and
chicken.
A fishing pole.
A dressing gown.
And a dressing
four,
gown.
Four,
and he single-handedly made friends with all the German soldiers.
The German high command.
Yeah.
So, Herr Gazza, what do you have for us? Hey, lads, I've got some chicken and a fishing pole. How about that Russian invasion? Let's call it off, eh? You make interesting points, Herr Gazza.
Let us open one of these tinnies.
We will open
around.
The tinny and consume it with you, Herr Gazza. Hey, let's get a fucking party started right now. That would have been something. Can you imagine if they looked back at old archive footage and they were like, is that Gazza? And he's just the same age he is now. Dressed the same, walking around
throughout
history. You look
back in time and like every great negotiator is some form of Gazza.
They're like, I'm pretty sure that's a representation in Sanskrit and hieroglyphs of Gazza.
Gazza.
Pretty sure it's Gazza.
Is that man holding a chicken?
Like, is that a fishing pole?
It's like cave paintings.
And then they find out, they look in the Dead Sea Scrolls. We keep seeing this word come up, Gazza. But it turns out it's Gazza. It was Gazza. And it's got a parable in here about him feeding 3,000 people with a chicken and some tinnies. How did he do it? And Jesus was meant to hang out with a lot of fishermen. That's why he had that's why you've got the pool, lads. Hey, Peter, I heard you like fishing, boy. I brought a fucking fishing pool and some chicken and a few tinnies. You love it.
Such a divine being.
Yeah, he's such
holy
a...
holy Gazza.
Such an inspiration.
Shit, sorry, so you're at the National Archives. What's that like? What is it?
It's a huge building, right? It's a huge building. It's a government building. And
Whenever people say National Archives, yeah, I always think of that scene from Indiana Jones.
Exactly.
And they actually have stuff like that.
Now, that's all underground. So imagine the overground bit is like a massive library full of old people looking up their family history and hoping they're related to someone famous, I guess. I mean, that's how it seems. It was all old people. Then there's
that's
a whole bunch
doing
of historians.
Now, though, because they have that show on TV, you know, the air
exactly.
one.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, you might be able to inherit some serious money, like, if they, you know, if you keep your record straight.
So there are, like, groups of people there. There's the money-grubbing old people hoping they're related to someone famous and rich. Then you've got the actual historians and history students who are researching for papers and books and stuff. And then you've got, like, school trips and things like that. So underneath the National Archives, they have these huge rooms that are, like, the size of, like, two football pitches or something stupid like that. Huge, huge, huge rooms full of these boxes, these filing boxes that are full of papers. And the woman said to us, the woman showing us around, "Now, children," and I consider myself one of the kids at this point, "how many boxes do you think there are down there in the archive?" So you guys have a guess.
Oh, how many boxes?
Yeah.
1,377,529. I bought my underpants at Kmart.
It's a good guess. Lewis?
I can't be that many. Like, I'd say like 200,000 boxes.
Right. It's 11 million boxes.
Yeah, that's
no
a
way.
Lot of boxes.
11 million boxes.
But they
files.
Keep like one of everything, don't they?
They have a lot of shit down there. They have Henry VIII's will. The actual will of Henry VIII.
They have like these gigantic books filled with like one of each type of flower pressed and preserved. Like, you know, they like coffee beans. They have a whole book filled with like every coffee bean ever found. There's like a sample of the coffee bean. And like everything. There's like, there's probably one with just like grains of sand, different grains of sand from like different beaches.
I don't think they do in the National Archives. I don't think they do at the
they
actual.
They got the bodega book.
They're the only ones who have.
They got that Yogscast annual from way back when and all the calendars and stuff too. They got a Horse Attend Me t-shirt down there as well.
They got the original Doomsday book.
Duncan's Park, they got one of those too.
Horse Attend Me.
Yeah.
So shit, man, I want to go to the National Archives. I want to look up my family history. I want to find out like if there's anything interesting about me.
You don't even need
to
go, Lewis. You can do it from the comfort of your own home. You go to familytree.org and if you pay a subscription of $28.99 per month, to browse through their extensive
database. We're not sponsored
database.
By them, by the way. We are not sponsored by them.
It's a wonderful tool, very easy to use. It's designed so that old people can use it. You know, they're not savvy on the net. They don't know the memes or anything. They can get on there. A couple of keystrokes later, a few clicks, and you're related to Marlon Brando, and you're probably
Hulk champ.
You can edit it. You can edit it yourself, so you can just edit, edit your family
tree.
It's
like Wikipedia, but you can you can just add in whatever you want. So like,
I've changed myself to be related to a lad called Paul Gascoigne. He's a historical figure,
right? Yeah,
he lived a long time ago.
His family crest is just simply a silhouette of a man. Holding a chicken
with a
and a fishing
gut,
pole.
Holding a chicken and a pole.
Big beer gut.
There's like tears just trickling
family,
down each side.
And the Latin motto is, "Why aye, lads," which is an ancient Latin saying, which means, "Why aye, lads." It's a direct translation.
So listen, I started watching The Ballad of Buster Scruggs on Netflix yesterday.
It's a movie.
I avoided it because the name was so bad.
It's a Coen Brothers Netflix movie, I guess, but it's like it's got like little, it's like mini stories. There's like
they
six...
pitched it like I think a six one-off, like half an hour episodes, but I think it got some for some reason along the way they were like, oh, can't you just make it into a movie? You know, you're the Coen Brothers, you make movies, you don't make TV shows.
Yeah,
and so they were like, oh, okay.
I think it could have worked as longer episodes, but in saying that, they're quite enjoyable in their short format too. It's well done.
Yeah,
it's really well
done. I enjoyed it.
Oh, I'll have a watch of that.
I'm about halfway through. I just got to the end of, I don't want to spoil it, I got to the end of the one with Liam Neeson in it, which was an interesting one.
Yeah.
And then I'm just about to start on the next one.
I love all the Coen Brothers movies, though. Like, Oh Brother, Where Art Thou is one of my favorite movies of all time.
Really?
It's just a great...
That's one of my
great,
least favorite of
George
theirs,
Clooney.
Yeah,
it's great.
I remember being a teenager and my friend just like rabbiting on about that movie incessantly. Like, he was like a big, like, you know, film buff guy. Like, you know, he just thought he was better than everybody else because he read like The Onion and stuff. And
I loved The Onion.
Absolutely. But like, so he was like, you know, this movie is hilarious, we gotta watch it, gotta watch it. And we were all like super tired and we watched it and nobody liked it and he got really mad at us. And like, but we almost made it a point not to like it because he'd hyped it up so much.
God,
you ever get that?
Never.
There's
do
a lot
that.
Of Coen Brothers. I mean, it's not the best. Actually, isn't the best movie. Is it? Now I think about it, but I mean, I remember it fondly.
George Clooney
as a,
was in it, right?
A good time.
Yeah.
I mean, the Coen Brothers have made a lot of cool movies. You know, I mean, Fargo, The Big Lebowski, No Country for Old Men, like great movies.
Yeah,
and I always watch everything they do because it's worth just
absolutely.
I can see what they got planned because it's a bit different.
The Matrix, you know. The Matrix as well, and that other anime one they made too.
Yeah.
Matrix 2.
The Matrix 2.
You know, William H. Macy, the actor who was in Fargo, he was Jerry Lundegaard, who was in Fargo.
Uh-huh.
He said that their style of directing, like actors, is that you'll do the scene and they'll just say,
You know, I really liked that part where you smiled at the end there, and that was a really good take. Okay, let's do it again.
And they just sort of, they just praise you and then ask you to do it again. They don't say, no, no, no. It's more like this. And so they just tell you what they really liked and then just say, yeah, run it, do it again. You're just like, okay, so what did I do wrong?
I get the feeling that they just have like an immense amount of takes and then they just sort of sift through all the footage in the end and just like pick, you know, the best one. Like, I don't know,
I don't know. Their stuff is super watchable. Like, it's not like super high octane, but it's just, I don't know. There's just something about it. Like,
it's very watchable. It's good. Yeah, I mean, their dialogue is always very good. And I think they always choose good actors. Like, good actors is a huge part of their movies.
Yeah.
I think makes it. I mean, if you think about, like, No Country for Old Men, Javier Bardem is Anton Chigurh, right? And he's brilliant. He's like this otherworldly, creepy guy. Does the brilliant performance, but then, God, what the hell? I can never remember his name. I always want to call him Matt Boner, but I know that's not his name. The guy who played George W. Bush in the George W. Bush movie. I'm sure he was Thanos in the Avengers movie. The fuck is the actor's name? It's not Matt Boner.
Matt Boner.
Here, I got you. I got you here. It's Josh Brolin.
Josh Brolin, right? Not Matt Boner. Josh Brolin.
That does sound such like an American jock name.
It does. Matt Boner.
Josh Brolin.
You know. So, Josh Brolin. So, I thought he was really good in it. And Kelly MacDonald was his really wife. She was really good. It's just really, really good actors. But I don't know. Like, even, what's his name? The guy,
Ruffalo?
Woody Harrelson. Mark Ruffalo wasn't in it.
Ryan Reynolds.
He wasn't in it either.
Benicio del Toro.
Benicio del Toro. He wasn't in it. I watched Sicario 2, which is a sequel to Sicario 1.
God.
And it was not good. I don't recommend it.
That sounds like a fucking bloody Jason Statham.
Sicario? Did you not see the original Sicario?
Is it like an American version of Jason Statham?
No. So you should definitely watch Sicario.
I'm a man at the end of my tether. I've been sent on a mission. Right, I'm retired, but I've had to come back because these bloody islanders have been throwing spears at pigs and stuff. So I'm going in, just me, on my own.
You threw a spear at a fucking teach pig? You know? What do you think you're doing? That's my pig. Round up the pigs that ain't been speared and get them in the back of the fucking van. Nah!
No, it's not got Jason Statham in. It's not an action movie. Sicario is a really, really good movie. I recommend it. Sicario 2, the opposite. It's a really bad movie, but it's got some good action sequences in, I guess, if you like. It's just completely plot-free
mindless movies.
But yeah, it's really bad. But the first one is good. Oh, by the way, that guy that went to the North Sentinel Islands was trying to teach him about Jesus.
Oh, God.
Oh, shit. Right. That's
I don't think they react too great to that, you know? Like, I don't, you know, we understand Jesus, right? Like, it's, you know, it's something that in our society and stuff, it's, you know, it's easy to pick up and get some context for Jesus and whatever. But, like, if you don't know anything about, you know, society or whatever, you've been living on an island, somebody comes over and they try to tell you about Jesus, you're just going to be like, what the fuck are you talking about? You know, like, we have a big dung heap in the center of the island that we worship. Like, I don't know who Jesus is, so...
Well, so I'm not being funny,
get
but...
Get out of here with that noise.
If God really wanted to contact these people, he probably would put a land bridge in place. You know what I mean? I mean, 30,000 years before anyone had even started writing about this monotheistic god, these people end up on this island, and this lad thinks it's his fucking calling to go and tell them about Jesus. What a fucking ego this guy's got.
I wonder if those islanders believe that the world is flat as well. I wonder if they think about it often.
I mean, they probably don't think about anything. They must see planes flying over. They live between Thailand and India and
That's
Indonesia.
True.
I mean, sure, they must
and
see planes
once in
all
a
the
while,
time.
I mean, there's a lot of garbage in the sea.
Yeah,
every once
up.
In a while, something must wash up, right?
No wonder, like, they throw it all away. They're like, this shit washes up on the shore and gets tangled
on
our delicious turtles.
They went down to the beach and then just perchance, just like thousands of inflatable sex dolls washed up on the shore.
That would be something.
That would really be something.
And alongside this horde of sex dolls, a single waterproof Bible washes up, and they're like, yeah, throw that out of here. Fuck those dolls right now.
Oh, my God.
But look at the fucking ego on this guy. He wants to go and tell them He's yelling, "My name is John. I love you and Jesus loves you." And they shot him with arrows and they shot his Bible with an arrow. And then he went back and they shot him again and killed him. They gave him enough warnings.
Yeah.
Don't fucking come to the island and shout about Jesus, you fucking idiot. What are you doing?
I feel like they did give him warnings. I mean, they shot him and he like went, he got arrow injuries, but he came back the next day. I mean
listen to this. This is from his diary. Are you ready for this? This is from his diary. This is him writing to God in his diary, as if God's going to read his diary. No one reads other people's diaries.
Dear diary.
Yeah. Brackets God. If you're reading this, and I hope you're not, because that would be kind of a betrayal of the whole diary trust thing, but I know you probably are.
The only people who read other people's diaries are school children reading Anne Frank's diary, right?
Yeah, paedophiles reading...
fucking mums reading their teenage daughter's diaries, yeah. You know.
So but here's what he wrote. This is him writing to God in his diary. This is unintentionally hilarious, I think. "If you want me to get actually shot or even killed with an arrow, then so be it. I think I could be more useful alive, though."
he's like bargaining.
Yeah. "I don't want to die. Would it be wiser to leave and let someone else continue? No,
dear
I
diary,
don't think so." Dear
shot
diary.
"Out again by the natives on the island. Chad is so gross. Ew. Such a weird ball sack. Yuck. Ew. Disgusting. Ew."
"Dear diary, Gazer is now on Love Island.
Dear diary,
he's a bit old for me.
If this guy offers me another chicken, I'm just going to scream my head off. Ew. I am
gonna barf everywhere. Ew.
So grody. Ew.
He's wearing his dressing gown again. It's like really thin, and you can see his hairy ball sack swinging on the bottom.
And it tasted dreadful.
Gross.
Oh, for fuck's sake. Oh.
Hey, so listen, your weekly update of The Apprentice. Somebody else was kicked out. Alan Sugar laid on another treat for the winning team.
I'm laying on a treat.
You know what I was saying to my wife yesterday? Because she was like, "Would you ever be tempted to go on The Apprentice?" I said, "No." And she's like, "Well, why not?" I said, "Because that show is designed to just make you look like an idiot."
Yeah, they're
going
to edit it to make you look like an idiot no matter what.
They're going
to
make you look super fucking incompetent, right? Even if you are, like, even
that's
somewhat
very easy
competent.
For us, though, to be fair.
And the other thing, even worse than that, is I would dread winning any of the tasks because I would fucking hate to go on the shit that Alan Sugar lays out for them as a treat. I mean, that would just suck balls hard. I would not want to...
Light on a delicious spread here.
They act like kids as well. Like, they're so excited to go rock climbing. And you just think, fuck me, just send me... I just want to go back to the house and sleep after all this.
I've laid on a trip to North Central Island for you. It's a tropical paradise.
Man, I do not want to go wine tasting with all of these other contestants and stuff. No way. Just let me go back to the house.
And they're all still being filmed, so they're all still acting like cunts.
Yeah. So it's... like, yeah, so that's my main reason for not wanting to be on that show, actually. Like,
I would say, given that people like Katie Hopkins have been former contestants, the standard of human being that you get on those shows is probably miserably low. To be stuck living with them for months on end, I would genuinely rather live with the North Sentinelese.
The task yesterday was they had to sell art. They have this one every year, right? So they had to meet the artists, they had to negotiate, like, a commission for selling the art and stuff. And they had to pick what art they thought would sell the best and everything. And then, you know, of course, none of them knew anything about art, but they're all very good at emulating every fucking stereotype they've ever seen in, like, a movie or a TV show based around making money and doing business and stuff. So they were all fucking talking, like, all of this shit about art to these people, like, doing, like, hard sales and stuff. Oh, fuck, I don't even know why I watch that show. I want all my time back.
Yep.
It's like 8 weeks I've been watching this show, and it makes me increasingly angry every time I watch it. It's crazy.
Ugh. Maybe don't watch it next week. See if
you can. No, I will for sure watch it next week.
Yeah, of course you will.
Like, is it like the thing I read about people who can taste more bitterness get more hooked on coffee, right? It's like the people who should like coffee the least actually get hooked on it more.
Oh, maybe. I don't know.
Like that?
Yeah,
it's like that feeling that it gives you of frustration and anger. You just keep coming back, though.
I can't drink coffee anymore, so I haven't drunk it in a couple of years.
Why? What happened?
It makes me shit a lot.
Oh, wow. I thought it was your heart thing.
No. No, it's just the shitting. I got sick of it.
You just get... All right, okay.
Every time I had a coffee, I was just pooping. I was like, geez, this is crazy. I think it's the coffee. And I stopped drinking coffee and haven't had a poop in 2 years. It's going all right.
Nice.
Damn.
Maybe you got bad blockage in there. You know, like if you get really blocked up and it can't come out the back passage...
I could do a
sometimes,
coffee.
Sometimes it comes out your mouth.
Oh, does it really? So,
yeah.
A friend of mine works as a nurse, and she said she was working with some old people, and she said that one of these old guys hadn't had a poop in months, and when he finally went, it was the size of his pillow. That's how much poop came out.
Oh, God, that is just fucking disgusting.
I know.
Fucking what?
Man, I've taken a couple of those when you said that, though, and I'm regular, like,
pillow poops?
Twice a day, yeah. And sometimes they're huge. I'm just like, what the hell did I eat? Made this poop so big.
Well, you know,
we
hadn't
mentioned poop until right at the end of the podcast, just as a reminder to everybody that essentially poop and dicks and stuff like that, that's pretty much the focus.
We mentioned ball sacks earlier.
That's right.
Yeah, we did get some ball sacks in there. That's true.
Well, there you go. That was the podcast. Thank you for listening, everyone.
Yeah.
See you all next week. Oh, so good.
Yeah, I know. We're so regular. So just like my pillow
poops.
Peace out. Love you lots. Bye,
everyone. Bye.